You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. It's World Glaucoma Week from the 12th to the 18th of March this year, and we're joined today by Professor Anthony King, the Chair of Glaucoma UK, to learn more about the condition and the support that's available. Hi Anthony, how are you doing?
I'm grand, thanks very much Amelia.
Can you tell us about Glaucoma UK and the work that you do?
Sure. So Glaucoma UK is a UK-based charity primarily set up to support patients and carers of people with glaucoma. And it's the only charity in the UK which is specialising in glaucoma. And we have several principal aims. Firstly, raise the awareness of glaucoma, because not everybody knows about it. Two, to provide advice and support for people living with glaucoma. So those people, and there are many of them who have glaucoma. And finally, to fund research so that we can improve our treatments, diagnosis, and general management of patients with glaucoma.
And how many people have glaucoma? How common is it?
More common than a lot of people would think. It affects about 2% of the population over the age of 40, so a significant proportion of people. There's a much higher prevalence, up to about 10% in people in their 80s. And it also tends to affect people from certain racial backgrounds, particularly Afro-Caribbean, more commonly. So about 2% of the population over the age of 40 are said to have glaucoma, but in fact, only about half of them are aware that they have it. So there's a lot of undiagnosed glaucoma out there. In addition to that, glaucoma is a potentially blinding condition. So it's one of the leading causes of blindness across the world. And in the UK, it is the second most common cause of registered sight impairment. So it's important for us to raise awareness and obviously to diagnose people early with the disease so we can prevent that from happening.
And like you said, lots of people might not be aware, because it's known as the silent thief of sight, because there are typically no symptoms, or at least noticeable symptoms early on. So how can people know if they have glaucoma?
Yes, you're right. That is absolutely true. And that asymptomatic element of glaucoma often means that there is a delay in diagnosis. So in the UK at the moment, we don't have any specific screening program for patients with glaucoma. So it's generally picked up opportunistically when a patient or a person goes to see their own optician. The optician, when they examine the patient, has a suspicion that they may have glaucoma and then refers them in to the appropriate primary or secondary care service for evaluation of that. There are some things to bear in mind that may be helpful. I mean, a lot of people are quite philosophical about their vision getting worse in old age. They think that it may be a consequence of getting old, or they think it may be a cataract. And unfortunately, glaucoma can just mimic gradual deterioration of vision. So it's important that if you have any concerns about your vision, you go to see your optometrist or optician and get them to check out what the cause of that loss is. And in reality, everybody in the UK over the age of 60 has the opportunity to go and get their eyes checked free, and they should be taking that opportunity, because that is a good time that the optician will have the opportunity, if a patient has glaucoma, to diagnose it. And of course, people who are known to have a first-degree family member with glaucoma are entitled to a free screening eye test for glaucoma every year. So it's always important when you go to see your optician to mention that you have a family history of glaucoma.
And what changes in sight might people notice as glaucoma develops?
Yes, so it can be quite subtle. It can be that actually at the beginning of glaucoma, there is no awareness of any sight deterioration. Because glaucoma essentially affects the periphery of the vision, people can not notice it until it becomes much more severe and starts to impinge on their central vision, so that it's affecting their everyday activities. But for those people who have developed glaucoma and do have some symptoms, they often describe it as just a general blurring or mistiness of the vision to start with, which gets worse if it's untreated and becomes more obvious as it encroaches on the central part of their vision. So a lot of people with glaucoma are still able to do their everyday activities without it affecting them obviously. The other thing, of course, is that glaucoma is a bilateral disease and it may be asymmetrical, so you might have quite bad glaucoma in one eye without really affecting the other eye. And because both eyes work together, even if you have got a significant amount of glaucoma in one eye, the other eye masks that. So you may not be aware of the symptoms unless, for example, you covered your good eye and suddenly noticed that the vision was poor in the affected eye. And the other thing, of course, is that glaucoma is generally a slowly progressive disease. So there's no sudden change in vision. It's a very gradual thing, and people often sometimes just adapt to that change without questioning it too much.
And what kind of treatments are available for people with glaucoma?
So we have a spectrum of treatments from drops, which is often the initial treatment, and there are several different types, five different classes in total. So there's a good variety of drops that we can use. So if one drop doesn't work, there are usually alternatives that we can use. Laser treatment, several different types of laser treatment exist for glaucoma, depending on the type of glaucoma, because there are different types of glaucoma. And in some cases, particularly in primary open angle glaucoma, we can use laser treatment as the primary intervention. So for people who perhaps would prefer not to use drops, we can try laser as an option. And there's good evidence to suggest that this is very successful in the majority of people. And for people in whom laser treatment or medical treatment have not been successful or are not controlling the glaucoma effectively, we have some surgical interventions. Some involve inserting small tubes in the eye, some are done at the time of cataract surgery, others are done primarily for glaucoma, particularly in advanced glaucoma where we need to get a very low pressure. Probably the most common type of glaucoma surgery is a trabeculectomy, which we carry out in the NHS and elsewhere.
Is there any research going into new treatments?
Yes, all the time, Amelia. It's very important, clearly, to continue to improve treatment and management for patients with glaucoma. So there are several different approaches. So there's often new molecules being developed to try and manage patients with glaucoma. So better management of intraocular pressure, which is our primary objective in patients with glaucoma at the moment. But there are also some new approaches in terms of neuroprotection, that is protecting the optic nerve. And many of these are tablet-based medications. So that's very exciting. There's a lot of research ongoing at the moment, and maybe in years to come, we'll have a mixed approach, both tablet and drops, and other treatments for patients with glaucoma. There's also new delivery systems being developed for our medical treatment of glaucoma. So it's very inconvenient for patients to have to put drops in every day, particularly if you've got some trouble with actually instilling the drops. And now there are developments to have longer acting medications so that we would inject a little pellet of medication into the eye, which would last for 6 months to a year and therefore overcome the need for patients to actually instill those drops in. And that's a new innovation which I expect we'll see within the not too distant future. And of course, there are new surgical devices being developed all the time to try and help us manage the glaucoma better and perhaps more safely and intervene at an earlier stage surgically. So there's a lot of ongoing research within glaucoma, and I'm glad to say that in the UK, Glaucoma UK is a major contributor to reporting ongoing research.
That sounds really exciting, and like all of those measures will make a massive difference to the everyday lives of people with glaucoma.
Absolutely. And the easier we make it for people to manage their glaucoma, the more successful the treatments are going to be. So really important, you're right.
And as this week is World Glaucoma Week, how important is this week for informing people about the condition and the support that's available and raising awareness?
Well, clearly, it's a great opportunity for us when there is a national focus, a world focus on the condition of glaucoma. So we have to take advantage of that. As I mentioned, we know that only half of the people who have glaucoma in the UK are diagnosed. So clearly, there is a very large proportion of people out there who remain undiagnosed, and we need to capture them, because if we capture them early when their disease is mild, then likely to be treated successfully and much less likely to have visual impairment or blindness during their lifetime. So we need to make people aware that, as you get older, there is an increased risk of glaucoma developing. And for people who perhaps are noticing some visual problems, to perhaps take them more seriously and not just assume that it's an aging process or that you're getting a bit of cataract, but to go and see your optician to try and nail down what the exact cause of this reduced vision is. We also need to increase awareness in certain ethnic groups, as I mentioned before, amongst the Afro-Caribbean population. because these individuals often get glaucoma earlier in life and they often get very severe glaucoma. So again, if we can capture them early in their disease development, then we are able to prevent that from occurring. And it's very important to emphasize that family history is an important marker for glaucoma. So anybody with a family history of glaucoma should be telling their loved ones that they have glaucoma and encouraging them to go and be checked for it by their own optician. And important to mention also that some conditions such as diabetes and being short-sighted increase your risk of glaucoma, so just to be aware of that as well.
And where can people learn more about glaucoma and the work that you do at Glaucoma UK?
We have a helpline, which is 01233 648170, which people can ring, and that is open from 9:30 to 5:30 Mondays to Fridays. So if there's nobody picking up, just leave a message and people will get back to you. We also have a helpline email address, helpline@glaucoma.uk, and of course we have our website as well, which is www.glaucoma.uk for people who want some more information about glaucoma.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Anthony King, the Chair of Glaucoma UK, for joining us here at RNIB Connect Radio for World Glaucoma Week.
Thanks, Amelia.